After speaking on one occasion in the course of my workaday life, one of the men that I had occasion to come in contact with, spoke to him about the Lord Jesus. He said to me, "Oh, I've got a brother like you." I said, "Have you? I'm very pleased to hear that you've got a brother who's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ." But to my great surprise, shortly after that, this same man handed me a letter. And he said, "This is from my brother. He wants you to read it. And he wants you to answer it." I haven't met this man who wrote the letter. I wouldn't know him if I saw him now. But I read his letter. I concluded, whatever he might have been identified with, he might have been a Christadelphian. But he certainly set out in his letter to deny the triunity of the Godhead. So I sat down, seeking the Lord's help, to give him an answer. I kept a copy of that answer, and though I sent it to him by the hand of his brother at the works, when I say brother, I mean brother in flesh and blood of the man who wrote this letter to me, he never replied to it. So I don't know what effect this reply of mine had to the letter I received from him. But coming across it in connection with this holy theme, the person of Christ, I've been rereading it and feel I should like to record it here. So I'll just record it according to the copy that I have retained. Your first verse, which is quoted from John 14, has no difficulty for the believer in the true deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one with any intelligence alleges a claim to equality in the verse cited. That verse, and you can read it for yourselves, is verse 28 of chapter 14. It concludes with these words, "For my Father is greater than I." The Son of God, being God and man, in one blessed person, we can well understand that on the side of his manhood, he occupies a place relatively lower than the Father. And thus we have verses like that in John 14, which I may say has reference to the place which the Lord was taking up in his abiding manhood, going out of the world to the Father. Positionally, the Father was greater than the Son. Whilst this was so, you have not referred to verse 9. There, the Lord asserts equality in no uncertain fashion. For he said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." Only God can reveal God. There, in the person of the Son, the Father was fully revealed. "As to no man seeing God," John 1 verse 18, don't you understand that for Christ to declare him, Christ must be more than man? For he has seen God, for he subsisted in the eternal relationship of Son to the Father, in the divine glory of his person. Thus he, and he alone, was competent to declare God. I repeat, only God can reveal God. So the several verses you refer to, having reference to the mediatorial place of the Lord Jesus Christ, present no difficulty. Let me refer you now to other verses in John which you have not cited. Chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. The Word was God. There are three things asserted in this first verse. A. His eternal existence. In the beginning was the Word. B. His distinct personality. The Word was with God. C. His Godhead. And the Word was God. Verse 14 tells us, so we can have no doubts, that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The Word is Jesus Christ. John Baptist had no difficulty about the deity of Jesus, for, as the forerunner and herald of Jesus, he quotes Isaiah 40 in relation to him. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New. Our Lord himself asserts his deity in unequivocal fashion in John chapter 8, verse 58. He claims there for himself the divine name, I Am. Just refer yourself to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. The Spirit of God, commenting in John 12, 37 to 41, upon the Jews' refusal of Jesus, says that Isaiah saw his glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus, truly God, and that he spake of him in Isaiah chapter 6. In John chapter 10, verse 30, the Lord Jesus said, I and my Father are one. In chapter 16, he speaks in the calm consciousness of his Godhead, saying in verse 15, all things that the Father hath are mine. See also John chapter 17, verse 5, verse 10, and verse 24. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, a quotation from Psalm 45, God addresses the Son as God, saying, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Look at Isaiah chapter 7. The Virgin's Son is Emmanuel, God with us. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the Son given, the child born, is the mighty God, the everlasting Father. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the Messiah born in Bethlehem is he of whom the prophet says by the Holy Ghost, whose goings forth are from everlasting. In Zechariah chapter 13, Jehovah says of him, the man that is my fellow. In Psalm 45, the psalmist says, he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Now as to Mark chapter 12, verse 29, these words are a quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Unlike our English language, which has two numbers in its grammar, singular meaning only one, and plural meaning more than one, The Hebrew grammar I understand as three numbers. Singular, only one. Dual, only two. Plural, more than two. In the verse quoted, the noun Lord is singular. The noun God is plural. Jehovah, our Elohim, is one Jehovah. Here is the assertion of a plurality of persons in God. Mark you, a plural noun, more than two, at least three. So the poor Trinitarian, as you describe the believer in God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, has Scripture on his side when he declares three persons, one God. I may add that the first mention of the name of God in the Bible is the plural noun. In the beginning, Elohim, plural noun, created, singular verb, the heavens and the earth. Three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, in the triunity of Godhead, united in the work of creation. See also Genesis 1:26, and God, Elohim, said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." May the Lord, dear friend, give you to search the Scriptures whether these things are so. You'll find that they abound with the assertion of the true Godhead of our Lord Jesus Christ as Son in the triunity of Godhead with the Father and the Holy Ghost. In closing, I leave this question with you. Who but God could contain the fullness of the Godhead? Please read Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, and chapter 2, verse 9. Indeed, read the whole chapter, the first chapter particularly, of the Epistle to the Colossians, where the glory and the greatness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is presented to us. He who became man is God. He abides God and ever abides God. And having become man, praise his name, he ever abides man. May you find some help for your soul in searching out the scriptural testimony as to the Godhead greatness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, here are some verses which I penned a long time ago while considering the truth of Scripture as to the indivisible person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. These verses are entitled "The Son of God." Truly God, yet truly man. Eternal Word is He. Two natures, God and man, in person one uniteth He. The invited man at Cana's feast, a humble guest, did dine. Yet God, the host, the water blessed and changed it into wine. The thirsty man, once seeking rest, sat asking at the well. The giving God, the woman blessed, whose tongue his fame did tell. The dependent man, the mount ascends, and suppliant, there is he. The mighty God, He then descends and walks the heaving sea. True servant, man, aboard he lies, tranquil in needed sleep, commanding God of sleepless eyes, stilled wind and raging deep. The tender man in grief wept sore beside the loved one's grave. All-powerful God, death's bands he tore, omnipotent to save. The man so meek to foes did yield, submitting to be bound. Majestic God, his presence awed and cast them to the ground. Such then was he in life on earth, his nature dual, his person one. The woman's seed of spotless worth and God, the eternal Son. O child once born, thou Son once given, eternal Word who flesh became, thou wonderful, thou mighty God, all hail thy glorious name. Here then is an epitome. Say not that he did this as God, or he did that as man. Say rather, this and that he did, who is both God and man. Amen.